Well, today we are talking about the Holy Spirit, as you maybe have gotten the idea. And the Holy Spirit wants to help Christians in so many ways. Jesus said, when you're drunk in front of officials in the synagogue, the Holy Spirit's going to help you with words. Don't worry about it. It also spoke to people in dreams, which we heard in our scripture reading. It helped give people prophets in the New Testament church, as well as the Old Testament times, prophecies. There's a spot in Acts where it says the Holy Spirit did not allow Paul to go into Asia. But today I want to speak about the main way the Holy Spirit helps us in a practical way and how it has impact on your and my daily lives through being our comforter and our helper. Before Jesus left his disciples, he promised the Holy Spirit would come, would stand beside us and help us in our Christian walk. What I want to do is go through a couple points this morning and talk about how exactly Jesus said that would happen. And I will do my best not to take 45 minutes, as my brother did last week. First of all, what we receive from the Holy Spirit comes from the Father through Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus told the disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So, here we see the Holy Spirit is there bringing to remembrance what Jesus already said. And I can tell you, as I read through the four Gospels, I am amazed, especially in the book of John, how much detail is in some of those accounts. Especially that last evening that Jesus was with the disciples. I heard someone talk about or make the comment, "Aren't you glad John took notes?" But I don't know how many notes John took. But Jesus did promise that the Holy Spirit would remind them. I've also heard people say, well, there wasn't a tape recorder there recording it. But the Holy Spirit was kind of a precursor, maybe, to the tape recorder. I don't know. John 16, verses 1 through 14, Jesus gives additional information about the Holy Spirit. We read there, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me." John points out in his gospel, as well as in the letter of 1 John, how important this aspect of what we as Christians need to understand. And that is that we need to believe in Jesus, the man Jesus, who was both human and God. He goes on to say in verse 10, "And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me." So Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be physically here anymore to be able to specifically give you direction. But the Holy Spirit is going to come and help you. And it's going to be in our physical bodies, which is an amazing thing to me, that we are privileged to have God actually within us. And it's going to direct us how we can live. He goes on and says, "Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So Satan has been judged. We can now focus on the kingdom. We can make our focus on being Jesus' hands and feet here in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our churches. And we don't need to worry about Satan. God has taken care of that. So the great sin now that we read in the Gospel of John as well as in the first letter of John is not accepting Jesus. Not accepting the man Jesus. And when you talk about sin as missing the mark, that's a huge mark to miss. Because if we don't accept God's Son and the message that God's Son brought us from the Father, how can we be connected to God at all? In fact, in the letter of John, John was dealing with that in Ephesus or in the area of Asia Minor, which we'll look at in a little bit. In John 16, Jesus goes on to say to the disciples, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine, of Jesus's, and will disclose it to you. Do you see a theme coming out? It's what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's really all about God's Son coming here on earth, bringing a message to the Father. It all comes from the Father, though. We read that in John 12. John has so many amazing things to write about this. In verses 49 to 50 in John 12, we read, Jesus told the disciples again, For I did not speak on My own initiative, but the Father Himself, who sent Me, has given Me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that His commandment is eternal life. Therefore, things I speak just as the Father told Me. So we have a connection with God in heaven through Jesus coming, and then secondly, the Holy Spirit now comes into each one of us and helps us connect to the Father through Jesus. But it all comes from heaven. It's nothing is from Jesus specifically or from the Holy Spirit. It's all coming from God in heaven. There is only one command from God the Father in all New Covenant Scripture. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there's only one command, and we read of it in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5, we read about an experience that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus on the Transfiguration Mount. I'm going to pick it up in verse 1 of Matthew 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. And His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If You wish, I'll make three tabernacles here, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But while He was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed Him. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, the only thing we have recorded from the Father in the New Testament, This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. So John remembers this command as he addresses a problem in the church in the letter of 1 John. And it is an issue he has with people that are considering themselves super spiritual. They have a real connection through the Holy Spirit, through an anointing with God in heaven. And they don't need Jesus. They have this special connection. And what John is trying to tell the church is that if that anointing doesn't bring the person to the Father through Jesus, it's not a real anointing. And he goes on to use a play on Greek words, calling them the anti-anointed ones, the antichrists. But really, in Greek, what it is the anti-anointed ones. Because they were saying they were the anointed ones. They had something to teach the church. You don't need Jesus. All you need is Father in heaven. Well, John debunks that in the letter of 1 John. But the Holy Spirit does come, and it brings us what we need to know personally about the message of Jesus. In the letter of 1 John, we hear, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. So, obviously, this group of people that John was writing about had an issue with Jesus, and they weren't very loving. How many of us have run into very, very legalistic churches that aren't listening to Jesus' instruction and become very unloving? I've sadly experienced that. So Jesus says His message is a message directly from our Father in heaven. He says the Holy Spirit will be bringing that message also from the Father. And it is all about what our Father in heaven gave Jesus to teach us. And continues to teach us through the Holy Spirit. Still through Jesus from the Father. So how well do we know the words of Jesus that He brought from the Father? If the Holy Spirit is supposed to remind us of Jesus' words, we have to have read them at least once, right? And it's an amazing thing that we have such a sure witness of Scripture where people have written His words down. And we have, what, over 5,000 manuscripts all over the whole Roman Empire area that show us that maybe not every word is perfect in what we have, but the message is sure. In Matthew 7, Jesus is quoted having said to the people that were listening to Him, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." He goes on to say, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand." So if we haven't heard the words, if we haven't read the words, how can we build our house on those words? So important that we spend time learning what Jesus came and brought from the Father. So the Holy Spirit can do His job in reminding us during our walk, as we walk in our Christian walk. We're running into all sorts of issues as we try to be a Christian in a broken world. We have unjust employers. We have sometimes horrible fellow workers. We're always challenged, or often challenged, in this unjust world. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus brought us from the Father to help us go through our life as a Christian. Now, the Holy Spirit did inspire Moses and the prophets, as Paul said. So I'm not saying that all we should do is read the words of Jesus. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, we read an often quoted verse in our Protestant communities. You, however, Paul writes Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. How? Through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Somehow I hear the verse after that quoted a lot. I don't hear the verse before it quoted that much. Then we have verse 16 where it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. But how? By being led to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. I want to point out that it's also important to see how Paul used Old Covenant Scripture. And if we feel led to read in the Old Covenant Scriptures a lot, it's important for us, if we're going to take Paul's words here seriously, to see what did he mean by how he expected Timothy to do that. He actually modeled what he meant. And concerning the laws in the Old Covenant Scripture, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 through 21, to the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. We can see the focus here of the Christian has to be the words of Jesus. Everything we read otherwise has to be through that lens. Also through the lens of the apostles and the New Covenant Scripture teaching us how to look at that Old Testament Scripture. In Hebrews verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, God, after he spoke long ago to who? To the fathers, in the prophets, and in many portions, in many ways. And as Paul said, we can surely learn a lot and be inspired by reading how God spoke to the Hebrew fathers through Moses and the prophets. But, verse 2, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So our Father in heaven is speaking to you and me, mainly through Jesus. We need to read Jesus' words. He made sure we had those words. We need to make sure we're reading them. But also through the Holy Spirit, who enables us to understand how to apply these words in our specific situations. We learn about God, and we can be inspired by reading Old Covenant Scripture, but we need to remember that God's focus for us is what he sent through Jesus and what he continues to be bringing through the words and teaching through the Holy Spirit. So I pray today that we can all be diligent reading the words of Jesus as well as the writings of the apostles, as they testified to His teaching, and as they struggled to apply those words in their fallen world. May God help us, through the Holy Spirit, do the same as we struggle to apply those words in our fallen world. Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, we're just so thankful for the work that You have, that You do with us. As often as we come to You, which we hope is often, Holy Spirit, thank You for enabling us to read this 2,000-year-old scripture that was spoken in most cases in Aramaic, given to us in Greek, and then translated into our language. It's a miracle, Holy Spirit, that You can help us understand what Jesus meant, what the Father actually meant Him to be. We thank You that You help us as we struggle to understand, as we struggle not just to read, to understand, but actually apply Jesus' words and Your words from the Father in our daily lives. Thank You, Almighty God, for adopting us. Thank You for enabling us through Your Spirit to understand some amazing things about You, about the life that You have put before us. And thank You, Jesus, for coming to earth as a human being, for dying that we could have a do-over. As we make mistakes and struggle in this fallen world with our fallen bodies, and that You can bring us to life through forgiveness and through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, and we commit our lives into Your hands. In Your name, Jesus, amen.